Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
David had a passion for God in his house. He said, "What can I do? What can I do for all the benefits that God's given to me?" Do you ever think about that? Oh, no, we've come here now. We're really comfortable. We're happy with the church. Pastor John's okay. Preacher's okay. And Elmer and Kareem, it's okay. And that kind of stuff. Kids' ministry's okay. Coffee, yeah, it's okay. It's okay most of the time. And all that kind of stuff. And it's all good. What are you going on about? I'm pleased we can do a great service. But it's not just to sit back and give percentages. Man, we're here to make this place glorious. We're here to build the name of Jesus. We're here to build an inviting atmosphere. We're here to bring people that they can hear a dangerous message in a safer environment and see their lives change forever. Hey, David, he never forgot where he came from. He didn't stay where he came from. And he never forgot how he got to where he was. He appreciated where he was, but he remembered where he came from. Some people are rooted back where they are. But the miracle is we move on, but never forget where you come from. That's called humility. He was disowned by his parents. He was on the run from Saul. He was despised by his brothers. He was threatened by Goliath, but God was there all along. And I just want to encourage us today, church, with so much passion and so much love for you. Don't let us forget where God's taken us from. And you might say, "John, you've had a pretty good life." You don't know. I don't forget where I was and where I am. How come I'm standing here pastoring this great church? How come I'm leading our state movement on our national leisure? How did that happen? A little boy in Aubrey, so insecure, so unsure about himself, didn't know if he was loved by God or what. So don't forget where you came from. And you may have come from another nation and now you're doing cool and you're walking around if you own the world. Hey, get over yourself. Don't forget where you came from. Thank God for what you have, but let's understand that God's blessed us and given us the life we have for a reason. He gives us abilities and gifts. He gives us spouse and our children. He gives us a house. He gives us work. He gives us money. He gives us health. He gives us friends. He gives us a church. Man, David had affection for many things, but his top and first affection is God and God's house. Let's look at this acrostic first. Put God first in your finance, in your interest, in your relationship, in your calendar, in your schedules, and in your troubles. Put God first. Put him first. Take a photo of it. Put him first. I believe in putting God first. 10% of my gross income goes straight into the house of God. My offerings. God in my interest. God in my relationship. God in my schedule. God in my troubles. And as I bring this together, you know, affection is a love affair in my heart. I love the church. Man, I love this church. The building's okay, but I love you. You don't know how much I love you. Talks about the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. And sometimes I kind of see you guys stray, and sometimes I see you getting slack, and I just say, "Oh God, help us. Help us." Hear the voice of the shepherd today. It's a love affair in my heart. It's an attitude, whatever it takes. It's generous. And David says, you know, I give of my own special treasure. It's challenging. It states that David said, come on, who is willing to consecrate themselves today to the Lord to get the house of God functioning and moving forward? It gathers others and attracts them. And everyone said, come on, we will willingly give. We offered ourselves willingly of our time, our energy, our gifts, our resources. Man, we're in this together. To bring this to a close, what did God say to David when he had it in his heart? He said, you build my house and I'll build yours. God's response, 1 Chronicles 29, he says to David, I will set up sons after you. Look at me, church. I want to encourage you. Give God something that he can set up. I just think my time on earth, 80, 100 years, whatever it is, it's getting longer. And I was just thinking this week, I was reading through Luke that I brought nothing into this world and I'm going to bring nothing out. But man, how much of my sweat goes into the few years that I'm on earth trying to build myself a shelter. And I do want to do that. And I want to have something laid out for my children and my grandchildren. Don't get me wrong. But what are we building in heaven? If I've got a mansion here and a bit of tin against heaven's fence as my house, I'm kind of missing it a bit. I don't want a shelter in heaven. I want a mansion. John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. What we've got to do is send him material. What is sending him material? Living for God, telling others about God, serving, giving. What are we doing? We're laying up treasure in heaven. Come on, yes, lay up treasure on earth, but lay more treasure up in heaven, because we're only here for this long. But in heaven, oh man, it's for eternity. I don't know how long that is, but it's more than a year. Verse 16, he says, your house and your kingdom shall be established. It started with David's desire to build God a house. 1 Kings 11 and 12, 53 years after David's death, Solomon goes bad. And God says, I will not destroy David's name just because of that mistake. 53 years later, 1 Kings 15, 86 years after David's death, Jeroboam, God still preserving David and his offspring. 2 Kings 8, 156 years after David's death, Jehoshaphat, and God is still reminded of David. 2 Kings 19, listen, 315 years after David's death, Hezekiah's time, here's David, here's God still saving Israel because of David. God's interest in the generations, my friend. While you're just stuffing around doing your stuff, God sees that, but he's looking to the future. What are you doing that's taking to the future? And there's nothing wrong with having downtime and all that kind of stuff, but the main things within our life, man, let's plant seeds. Let's understand that we're doing something that's affecting the generations for the glory of God. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for good and faithful people. Now, Matthew 1. You read it. It talks about genealogies. What's that? Family tree. 1 Chronicles. Man, there's chapter after chapter of them. Well, why does God give so much time to genealogies? He's interested in people, and he wants you to understand that what you're building is not just for now, but it's for eternity. What you're imparting is for eternity. Thank God for my dad that he put a stake in the ground and said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Expecting third or fourth generations. Come on. Come on. Now, Matthew 1 and verse 1, it says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the family tree. Listen, Jesus Christ, son of David. God's generational. While you're concerned about generational curses, God's worried about generational blessings. God's blessings are tangible, they're touchable, they're feelable. God blesses, and it's not always because of us, but it's passed on because of us. I may be blessed because of my dad, but I pass it on because of the seeds that I sow. And we can keep the generations going strong in Jesus' name. All that David did was build God a house. See, your affection for God's house causes you to do something. The seed that you sow affects generation. And probably not everyone's had this, the upbringing that I've had. But you can start a new generation. My mum and dad, spiritually and physically, built God's house. Look at me, young parents. Man, have a love for God, put God first. Serve in the house. Love God, put God first. Serve in the house, give. I tell you, if you do that, you're going to build something strong. If you're just coming to church, thank God for it. But if you want your kids to serve God, come on, love God, serve, give. Sets a good foundation for the generations to come. Your affection for God's house causes you to something. The seed you sow affects a generation. You see, you don't see much initially, but give it 5 years, give it 10 years, give it 20 years, give it your life. You know, we plant a seed and we just keep looking back. You hear about the Chinese bamboo? You put a seed in the ground and you go back next year, you just think, dead. You keep going back for 5 years and it's dead. But after the fifth year, you'll see a little green shoot. Look out, because in about 10 days, that grows to 90 feet. And sometimes what you're doing and what you're sowing, you're just, man, I'm not too sure if this is happening. I'm not too sure. You know, my kids are wild. Marriage is up the creek and all those kind of stuff. I want to encourage you. Yeah, draw in help, but keep honoring God. Keep giving. Keep serving. Looking back, it works. Sometimes we overestimate what we can achieve in a year and underestimate what can happen in five. Just want to encourage you, church, build well. Build well. Who knows what will spring from the seed? Was David's life lessened because of his generosity for God's cause? 1 Chronicles 29:18, it says, David died in a good old age, full of days, full of riches, full of honor, and Solomon reigned in his place. All he did was prepare with all of his might to reach his generation and prepare for the next. Today, very soon, I'm going to ask you in a tangible way to sow seeds for the future. Thank God that you tithe, and we're not talking about tithing now, we're talking about, you know, and you might say, what has this got to do with auditoriums and chapels and all those kind of stuff? If you don't put a purpose to it, it probably means nothing. But the purpose is, they're tools that we're going to use to evangelize. It's going to be a place where ministry happens. It's going to be a place where souls are saved. It's a place where we call home. Do you know that this, if this is your church, this is your spiritual home? Make it glorious. Make it glorious. And each one of us can do that. And on the moment on the screen, it's going to come up and we're going to take up an offering, and it's going to talk about in giving cash and check, and you can give online. You can give FPOS, you can give direct debit, you can give push pay, all different ways to give. But what I'm going to do in a moment is I'm going to ask each one of us to stand. We're going to put some containers here, and row by row we're going to come. And you might say, oh, John, I'm not prepared today, or I just haven't got any money at the moment. Come for a walk anyway. It's a walk of faith, and you're stating your intention that I'm part of this. Amen. I've prepared for this. I pray about this a lot. You know, my tithe, I didn't even think about it. I just do it, don't even think about it. It's God's, it's God's. When it comes to my offering, that's my choice. I'm going to choose where I put it, and I'm going to make God's house glorious and strong in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this life-transforming message. For service times, upcoming events, or to find out more about Inspire Church, log on to inspirechurch.com.au.